columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.
Go to 1043thefan.com and subscribe to The Fan Daily for the latest columns, blogs, news, videos, and more sent directly to your inbox every weekday morning.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Football at 4. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbus, D-Mac, and Nick Ferguson.
Yeah! All right. So a couple things. Let's, first of all, some news. Nikki Javala of The Athletic says that Mike Shula is in the building and it's being evaluated and they're not looking at anybody else. So to me,
so he done hired.
Yeah, I think so. To me, this sounds like we're figuring out a contract and, you know, before we announce it, we got to cross T's, dot I's. But there's no other candidates. He's been there now for a couple days.
He's actually game planning right now.
Okay.
I told you a steak dinner would do that to you.
Oh, so it looks like Mike Shula, there you go. Okay. You picked out, Richie, you have Jerry Jeudy's numbers compared to Henry Ruggs III. What do you got there?
Well, Henry Ruggs III only had more than four receptions twice all last season in a single game, whereas Jerry Jeudy had six or more receptions in nine of his 13 games.
Okay.
So there was clearly a big target
differential.
He had 77 receptions compared to Judy's 40.
Okay. So that's a good comparison.
Hold on, keep going.
Oh, okay.
What's the yardage in touchdowns?
1,163 yards.
Oh!
For Jerry Jeudy and 10 touchdowns compared to the 736 and 7.
That is a clear wide receiver one, clear wide receiver two.
Yes, that's Hockenson, Noah Fant. No doubt about it.
Yes.
Okay. I think that's a little bit of a red flag, although I did the math on Ruggs. He averages 18.6 yards a reception. I mean, that's pretty good.
Jeudy averages 15.
So Ruggs averages more per reception.
Right, but Jeudy
because
has
he doesn't get targeted as much.
Well, that's Noah Fant, too. Noah Fant, look at Noah Fant's numbers per catch compared to, well, Hockenson got hurt, but I bet you I know Fant had more yards per reception. I don't know if he had more in college, but he had more in the NFL for sure.
I feel like I'm dogging a dude on my board.
We're thinking about things. All right.
He's still a top guy. And if you look at
he is. There's no doubt he is.
Because if you're looking, you still look at skill set, and then you look at speed, right? I mean, Ruggs is a faster guy than Jerry Jeudy.
Are we going to be able to get him the ball enough to justify picking him at 15?
Yeah, because you change up the drops with a quarterback. It's a quick game now. The NFL is a quick game.
I'm going to get targets to him.
In theory, forget whoever it is. I mean, if you draft a wide receiver, in theory, there should be plenty of opportunities. Plenty
because
of opportunities.
I'm reading that
Noah Fant's not getting targeted like a number two guy.
No kidding. That's my big beef with that
his
situation.
His receptions now, if they draft Ruggs or any wide receivers, his receptions are going to go down.
I bet it would stay about the same, actually. It would stay
about
the same.
That's a problem. It needs to go way up. Way up. Seven targets in the final three games?
I don't know, dude. Kelce, not many tight ends get targeted more than that.
I didn't draft him in the first round.
Well, you got him now.
Okay.
You've got to figure out what you're going to do with him.
Okay. Cody Latimer was a great special teams player. You know, it happens. You don't need to draft a guy in the second round for that, but sometimes that's just the way it works out. All right, we were requested to watch tape on Austin Jackson.
That I did.
And it was against A.J.
Espinosa.
Okay.
Ish.
Against Iowa. And
Espinosa.
The
Espinosa.
Holiday or some sort of bowl game. And in the game, Iowa destroyed USC. But what did you think when you watched the tape? That was the Pinstripe Bowl? Oh, fantastic.
Well, first off, I still like Austin Jackson a lot. I was not impressed by that game. Okay, let me back that up. I'm impressed to the degree that he handled one of the top pass rushing prospects in the draft relatively easily.
Right.
Okay. So that part is impressive. That to me says, okay, you are legit. You did not have very many issues with one of the top pass rushers in the NFL draft. You are very legitimate prospect. Okay. Dude, bad footwork. Really bad footwork.
Really?
Yeah, man. So lazy in the sets. It's when I talk about his sets, I'm talking about pass pro. And if you want to have fun, like, there's two really easy, simple things you can watch for if you want to watch offensive line play. When you watch a guy take a pass set, watch his first kick. Does he kick backwards or does he understep himself? Okay, very simple. Lazy guys that get by with their just athleticism and their size and their mass, sometimes they'll underset themselves. They'll understep themselves. Another very easy thing to look for, when you see a guy at the line of scrimmage, you'll see his shoulders and they're parallel to the line of scrimmage in front of him. Well, on kick number two and on kick number three, in a perfect set, those shoulders will still be parallel to the line of scrimmage. When you get in trouble is when those shoulders go vertical to the line of scrimmage. Mm. So when they flip, or perpendicular, I should say. So those are two very easy things to watch. Well, I saw a guy out there handle AJ relatively easily, and do it with very poor footwork. Okay, so what does that mean? Well, it means the dude's a freak. It means the dude can handle a lot of things, even without great technique. However, if he thinks that he can get by with technique like that in the NFL, he's in for a rude awakening.
Oh my God. Is he Garrett Bowles?
No. No.
Because isn't that everything we've heard about Bowles, what a great athlete he was, but is that
holding offense. Number 72.
This guy isn't as athletic as Garrett. He's not as athletic, but he is.
He has all the same bad habits?
But he's much stronger, and he's got the mass to absorb bad technique.
Okay? I put all my arms and legs into and so, let him trust.
Oh, my God. I'm not like, feeling good all right, about that.
All right, that's fine. You can nod your head. He's still going to be on my board. I still like him. Because if you teach him the technique and if he learns to become a technician, well, you got to trust your coaching that they can get that through his head.
Well, I wrote down a couple of things watching him myself that kind of jumped out of the page that kind of makes you a little concerned. He tips off his run and pass sets for me.
Oh, every tackle does that.
Especially being a defender, that's something that jumps out. And he doesn't have a nasty streak. I played with a bunch of offensive linemen that had that nasty streak. I want to see you finish a guy and finish him to the ground. I don't mean doing something that is outside of the norms, but you can take a guy, finish him on the ground, and get that pancake. But also, on his run blocks, he has a tendency to lose connection with the guy that he's trying to drive off the ball. From once again, thinking from a defensive perspective, that's when the D lineman can work his second or third move to get off, to get that penetration. So these are all things that I've seen that are negatives for him, but he can improve all these things once he gets to the pro level. That's a possibility.
So this is explaining why, of all the tackles, he's one of the later ones, why he may fall, why he may be in the second round.
I'll be shocked if he goes to the second round.
Will you?
I'll be shocked.
All right. Ugh. He is a nice guy, by the way. Really nice guy. His sister had a bone marrow issue. He got a bone marrow transplant just about a month or so before training camp opened up.
Oh, wow.
Before his final year, and went through that procedure, which...
That's very painful.
Could really hurt your training and all that sort of stuff. So he's a good dude. He's coming out. He's another guy. Like, worse is the same thing. He's young. He's only 20. You know, he's a young dude. He's a monster of a man, though. I mean, he's just... Another one of these, what is he, 6'6", 310s, I don't know, one of these weird athletic freaky guys, plays basketball, track guy, all that stuff at that sort of size.
So based on everything that both Tyler and I have said, does that change?
Yes, it makes me think deeply, and it's like we're running out of offensive linemen here, especially when I'm reading some takes on him. Like, I know you say you'll be shocked if he's there in the second round.
Yep.
But it makes me think, well, who else around in the second round is similar to him? I mean, and this makes me think if we're just out of, you know, that stupid Raiders game, you know, we just should have let him get that darn two-point conversion. I swear. Because where would we have been? We'd been like 12 or something, right?
10.
We'd have been 10?
Yeah, we dropped 5 spots.
Oh, my God.
5 spots. That was a really important game to win, guys.
God.
It was really, really important. Do you think there was a reason why John Gruden looked relieved when they didn't score that 2-point conversion?
He was smiling.
He looked relieved.
He's like, thank you, Shelby Harris.
We dropped 5 spots.
If we were drafted at 10, we'd be fine. for offensive tackle.
Oh, well, you could literally do anything you want at 10. I mean, if you want to move up to 5, you want to move up to 6,
this is becoming like a real issue now. Like that stupid 2-point conversion.
Oh. Yeah.
Do you think at 10 the Broncos would have been able to grab a guy like Andrew Thomas?
Yeah, maybe. We wouldn't be in these conversations.
Well, at 10 you can do anything you want because it is very realistic to move up 4 or 5 spots from number 10.
Well, just look at what's going on here. The 4 tackles may go before the Broncos pick. 4!
I mean, seriously. You know what? You should have benched Drew Lock for the final game. Why did he play in the final game?
You guys remember, what a weird year. There may be 4 tackles, and Jackson may be the 5th. At 15, when Bowles was drafted, at 20, he was the first tackle taken. It's just weird years. You have no cornerbacks taken last year, right? No corners
That's
at
right.
all. Running backs are kind of a dying breed anyways in the draft, but this would be crazy, but you could possibly have 6 quarterbacks taken in the first round. That's really pushing it. That's having some magic sauce happen. But you're going to have at least 4. You're going to have at least 4 in this draft.
Some team is going to do something stupid to change the draft.
I can't wait to see it. Who's it going to be? It'll probably be the Bengals. They'll screw it up somehow. When we come back, Von Miller. This one's tricky. Good things and bad things, all in the same story. That's next.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Next week, we'll be getting you set for Kansas City and San Francisco thanks to Holy Smokes Barbecue.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Just because you got new clothes.
I'm a strange lady. What? Playing this in honor of Von Miller? We had Adam Gossett, too. We could have played this for Adam Gossett.
I feel like that would have been not appropriate.
That's like right. But, Australia. I'm dying to hear what you guys think about this story. So Von Miller had a 5-week trip planned to Australia that he canceled. And he said, I didn't get a chance to do training with Frank Mastrosiani, Hell's Trainer. Frank. And I didn't have the type of success that I had with that type of training, so I wanted to get back to that. I had 8 sacks. I had a whole trip planned to Australia. I just kind of looked in the mirror like, I have 5 weeks to go down to Australia, but I can't make 5 weeks to train? I just thought about that, and I canceled the trip. I'm going to be 30. 31 now. He's not sure. Okay. Cool. I guess. But I remember last year Von was doing TV shows and he's at the Kentucky Derby and he's doing all sorts of
Dancing with the Stars.
Well, that wasn't last year, but that was during his
year before
his holdout sort of thing. You know, when he wasn't that was before. But he was keeping busy with other stuff. Last time I checked, he was making over $20 million last year too. So how do we feel? On one hand, you say okay. You canceled your 5-week trip to Australia. Cool. And then you think about what were you doing last year at that time? So if this is the right thing to do this year, why weren't you doing this last year?
He wasn't doing it last year because it was all about, Von being social, embracing the fact of who he is as an NFL player. And I mean, the one thing I love about sports in general, especially football, it can humble you really quick. And Von knew when he was voted to the Pro Bowl that he said it himself that he didn't think he was worthy of getting that nod to the Pro Bowl. And what he looked at is the way that he performed before opposed to the way that he was performing now, and wanted to make adjustments and tweaks to his training. So to me, this is the way that I see it, because every player goes through this situation. Either you're getting better or you're getting worse, and he realized he needs to have a comeback season, so he's getting with the Hell's trainer.
Nah, you guys are making a story out of nothing here. This is no big deal, dude. Guys do different things in off seasons every single year. I know I did it. There were some off seasons where I would work with Lauren Landau the entire off season. Then there were a couple where I would kind of do my own thing. Matter of fact, I went over to Valor High School. I used to live across the street. I had no association with them then. But I went over to Valor and asked if I could use their facilities, and I worked out by myself one off season. Guys, you do different things. You know, it's not like Vaughn wasn't training last off season. I'm sure he was training. I'm sure he was working hard.
You don't
hard.
Think he was taking things too lightly?
Nope, I don't, and I'm not going to accuse him of it.
He wasn't assuming something and he paid the price for it?
Nope, I'm not going to accuse him of it, because I know that I did things 1 year. I thought, okay, maybe I didn't quite realize that was a difference maker for me. And then I had to do something different before I realized that, that was actually a difference maker for me. So, I went back to the same well another year. It certainly is not anything like I was taking the season lightly. It's certainly not like I wasn't training the same.
All right, so you're giving Vaughn some credit then for?
I'm going to do the total opposite of you guys.
I wasn't piling on as though he wasn't, doing his training the way that he would normally do, but he's a professional athlete. And after a long season, I mean, you deserve an opportunity to enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's what he was doing. And it's not saying
I mean, you're making an assumption there that he wasn't training.
I'm not saying that he wasn't. But
that's
I'm saying
what you
that,
just said.
No, he took advantage of being who he was and building his brand. So after a long season, you definitely want to go out. If you want to take a trip, go take a trip. I'm not saying that he wasn't applying himself and he wasn't working out. He realizes now after the season, he's 31. Like he said, he needs to make some changes to how he's working out. And this may give him a better advantage than what he was doing last season.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, if anything, I would say I think it's kind of cool that at 31 years old, you're going to go back to the well that you felt like made you. You're going to go back to it, and you're going to be like, man, even at 31, I'm willing. Dude, 1 week after the season, he was in San Francisco running up those crazy sand stairs 1 week after the season ended. Clearly, he's got a dedication to it. So I'm not going to knock him, nor am I going to assume that he was taking last off season for granted. I think just sometimes you don't realize what makes you.
You know, Vaughn only has a $4 million cap hit in 2021. Is this it for Vaughn Miller?
What do you mean, is this it? And what
is this
way?
It?
This like, season like, is what like he's
this,
saying.
This last this season?
Yeah,
that's what he's saying.
With the Broncos. No. Not for the career, but for the Broncos.
Well, possibly, depending on how the 2020 season actually wraps up. I anticipate that Vaughn will definitely come back and rebound from the year that we saw, because I anticipate Bradley Chubb coming back off this injury better.
There's no way the cap, everything is too much now. They're too pot committed this year. Forget it. But it'll be different in 2021. I think Vaughn may be understanding that too. I think the 8 sacks is bumming him out, rightfully so.
How much is 8 sacks worth to you?
Not much.
Really? Oh, you're wrong on that.
Not that much.
What? Give me a number.
Oh, man. 8 sacks.
Are you basing that on the fact that Vaughn is at double digits?
For his position?
Yeah, for his position.
8 sacks at his position?
Yeah.
$12 million a year.
Okay, all right, that's still a reasonable salary to me.
That's great, but it's not worth 20-something million a year.
Well, his salary in 2021 would be 17.5. That's also what his salary is going to be this year. So the cap hit...
You can't get more than 8 for 17. Come on.
I don't disagree with you, but if Vaughn were to get 8 sacks again this year, dude, it's not like you would just let him go. I mean, you might overpay him again.
But the only way that happens, what you're proposing, is if Malik Reed's game improved, Justin Holland's game improved.
Well, let's hope Bradley Chubb is.
And Bradley,
let's hope he's a superstar,
that's
right?
That's the only way
what
you're predicting would actually happen, and Vaughn Miller would have played his last season in 2020.
All right, when we come back, the Chiefs. We got to look at the Chiefs. There was a comment from the 49ers defensive coordinator about the Chiefs are like an Olympic track team. Is that the goal? Is that the direction the Broncos should be going? Is that how you score 30 points a game? We'll talk about it next.
Now here's The Drive.
All right, the 49ers defense coordinator, Robert Saleh. Did I get that right?
Saleh.
Blew it. He said about the Chiefs offense, it almost looks like they got their roster from the Olympic relay team and threw them all on the football field. Is it time for the Broncos to add some speed to the offense? Oh, man. This
is
such a complicated question.
Dangerous game.
This game is all about the vertical passing game, right? And how do you do that? You got to throw the ball down the field. And you have to have viable options outside the numbers.
So much risk in that.
So much risk. You know what the Chiefs have done? It's a little bit counterintuitive to what I would think you should do fundamentally. They really didn't start with a great offensive line. Matter of fact, Eric Fisher, their left tackle, for years, he was a bust, like a big-time bust. They did go out and they added Mitchell Schwartz in free agency, and that was really like the one pillar that they really needed to kind of get over the hump on the offensive line. But they were adding puzzle pieces around that O-line before they really had the O-line, and they were just accumulating speed and speed and speed. It's a dangerous game that I don't think many teams get away with. It is so easy to become the Detroit Lions.
Your quarterback has to be so good. I mean, that dude has to make some unbelievable decisions. He's got to be able to move around a little bit.
But then you see that with Drew Locke in the last five games, ability to move around in the pocket.
Did we?
We did see
him. We did? We saw it enough?
Oh, I saw I didn't see Patrick Mahomes, but I saw a guy that was plenty mobile. I saw a guy that you could do things with him that you couldn't do with any of your previous three or four quarterbacks.
And absolutely. Okay. Just go back and watch the Texans game. That was kind of the start of it, showing us what he could do. And then we saw him bring some more things to the table once Scangarello opened up the game plan for him. But if you're a mobile quarterback and you can move and slide in the pocket, now we have to get you wide receivers because, you know, like Fangio would always say about Patrick Mahomes and we would hear about some of these mobile quarterbacks, you're not just defending the first play. You're defending the second and third play, and that's what speed can give you.
Well, let me be a bit of a devil's advocate here then. If that's the case, and this is such a deep draft, and we're really just talking about speed, won't there be just fast, speedy guys? Just like, Hardman there for Cincinnati?
Well, they gotta be good,
Cincinnati?
Dude. I mean, they gotta be good.
Where'd they get Hardman from?
You just can't be just a fast guy. You have to be able to run routes. Like DK Metcalf, that the Seattle Seahawks drafted, ran the fastest 40, I believe, last year at the Combine. Right? And most people thought of him coming out of Ole Miss that he was just a one-trick pony. He could only run the go route. But he showed that he had more layers to him. To me, if you find a guy who's just not a fast guy, but he can block on a perimeter, you can put him in a slot, he knows and understands, you know, blitz pickups. To me, that's the guy that you want. We can go find any guy who could run maybe a 4.3 40, think we'd throw him out there. And I played with a lot of guys who had that speed, but they didn't know how to have that know-how. They didn't know how to run the routes, how to sink their hips and get in and out of their breaks.
You're talking about the Chiefs. One of their faster guys is Hardman, who was taken in the second round. He's been pretty good. Where was Tyreek Hill taken?
He was taken late because he had those off-the-field
issues.
Yeah,
that's right.
He was taken late. If he wasn't, if he didn't have those off-the-field issues, he would have been the first day guy.
Oh, you see Kareem Hunt was pulled over with car smelling of weed.
Right after our conversation yesterday.
he didn't get arrested for it, but he, you know, Kareem Hunt. I'm just asking. Kelce wasn't a first round guy. Hardman wasn't a first round guy. Tyreek Hill, I know he had issues, but he wasn't a first round guy. Help me out. Who else is what's the rest of the track team there?
Sammy
Watkins. Oh well, he was a first round guy. But
here's what the real question is. At the end of the day, do the Broncos need speed? Of course,
Okay.
Of course they need speed. But the real question at the end of the day, do you want to gamble playing next season with Garrett Bowles and Juwan James right. as your tackle?
That's like you going back to it. I can't get over that.
I know
we're going to find fast guys in the set. I know they're going to be there.
This is a totally fluid process. And right now, I got O-line, and I got a change coming up today that is going to be, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's coming up in about 10 minutes.
Right. So it's a fluid process. As of today, I'm not willing to take that gamble. I am very, very tempted to take that gamble. Very tempted to just roll with these guys and say, Juwan James, earn the contract. Play some football.
Garrett Bowles will give you your fifth year.
No. You don't necessarily have to even give him his fifth year.
Oh, well, really?
You don't have to give him his fifth year. You could just
Are you
just
sure?
Play him. Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm positive you don't have to. You don't have to give him his fifth year for
but
him
that
to play this
you're
year.
Definitely going to be replacing him the next year.
Or you give him a new contract. Or you just give him a new contract. I'm not opposed to the fifth year either, by the way, because it's only guaranteed for injury. If you decide that he had a terrible season, you just pull it. You just don't give it to him.
Okay.
So the fifth year isn't as scary as everybody makes it out to be.
It's more of a commitment of what you plan on doing in the future. You know, like, are you that guy or not?
A little bit. Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, if you give him the fifth year, the odds of you picking up another first-round offensive tackle are low.
Here's what I don't know. I'm not inside that building, and I don't know what's going on with Juwan James. It doesn't sound good. So as of today, I haven't seen anything that would make me feel like he really wants to play football right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not ready to take that risk. But I'm ready to roll with Garrett. I am. I'm ready to make that gamble. I'm not ready to give him a new contract. I'm not ready to do any of that.
Would either one of you guys be surprised in like 2 or 3 weeks from now? Like, Juwan James just retires. I'm not even lying.
Come on, don't even toss that out there.
Oh, but hold on, would that surprise you?
No, it wouldn't for a guy that
you... be relieved. dude, that would be the best thing that could possibly happen. Number one, you would get your money back.
Exactly.
Okay? You would.
So you get the money back, so you're no longer worried about that. You don't have the cap hit, and you no longer have to worry about if this guy's going to show up or not. That would be a blessing.
Yes, you can only hope that the football gods would bless this team to be in that type of scenario.
It would make
life so much easier.
The thought of like just going to work to football practice would have to be so like...
I'm done.
It would have to be so overwhelming because he's got so much money sitting there on the table.
And we always talk about, what's your number?
Well, that's right.
What's your number?
What is your number? He's got enough money to live comfortably the rest of his life, but what's your number? He married a Colorado girl? There's a high likely... Yeah. Yeah, she was like a softball star and in high school and in college. She's like an incredible athlete herself.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Hey, marriage changes a guy. Hopefully it changes him for the better.
He's got a nice house. It's all right. Orlando probably sold it to him. I don't know. I mean,
he would be an idiot to retire. An absolute
What's your
idiot.
Number? What's your yeah. number?
An absolute idiot.
What? Was Luke Kuechly an idiot?
No.
Then why, what's the difference?
Because Juwan James has proven that he's comfortable with collecting a check. If you're comfortable showing up and collecting a check, then yeah, you're an idiot because you can just do that again next year.
All right. We got a change coming.
Bad human.
You said it, not me. We got a high five that's kind of cool. We've got Eli Manning retiring. We've got Peyton Manning on with the Zokely Morning Show. All sorts of stuff. Stick around. It's The Drive on the Fan.
I feel the need for speed.
Now here's The Drive.
All right. I understand we have a... I always like doing this.
High five.
Get a high five. Nick, what's on your radar?
Well, you know, we haven't done it in a while, but I saw something that I thought was very historic. The NFL is celebrating their 100-year centennial, and during Super Bowl, there will be 5 African-American officials on the field. That is something that's never taken place before, and they had this honor bestowed upon them because of their merit that they were able to call games the right way during the season. And for me, I think it's a really big, a huge step in the right direction as the league has been under fire for not hiring a lot of minorities. So this is great, not just for minority coaches or any individuals who want to get into officiating, but for women as well. So, I mean, kudos to the league for doing this and getting this done.
Yeah, I have no idea why, anybody couldn't be a referee if you want to go down that path. And I look at some, like Popovich has a female assistant, Becky Hammon, thank you. There's no reason.
Colorado.
Why Becky Hammon wouldn't be as good of an assistant basketball coach or even a head coach.
Yeah, she won the summer league 1 year.
It's basketball. And if you're just a student of basketball.
Did she play high school basketball here?
You're just killing me with facts. I don't know. I'm just saying.
So.
You already knew more about her than I did already. What, you answer your own question.
I don't know.
But yes, certainly. I don't know what's going on, what they're going to do in terms of coaches. They have failed in that department for whatever reason. It feels like the NFL's taken a step back. Probably you got to start with ownership and go to general managers, and you probably have to look at that. And it's not like there aren't qualified people, but people are comfortable with people that remind them of themselves sometimes, and you got to be more diversified. So it's a good moment for the NFL.
Yeah, man.
And hopefully more good moments like that on the
high
way.
High five.
Right on. Okay. Tyler, you got a change to make, is that right?
I need my card.
Is it multiple changes or just one change?
It's one name change.
Okay.
This is the big board of possibilities. We have everybody on staff, aside from Stink, is taking it seriously and has listed five legitimate possibilities in order that they think the Broncos should be interested in. Richie is now bringing the card to Tyler. He's placing it face down. Tyler is picking
it up. If either one of you know this name, I'll give you $15.
Now, this is somebody that could conceivably be taken in the first round, not in the third or fourth or fifth or sixth.
I'll come back.
You'll come back? You'll come back? Hey. Tyler's to a tongue of my loan.
I love you, man. He's gone. Yeah. We're all in. We're all in on Drew Lock.
Yeah. We are. So Tua is off the board completely.
LaVisca, you're moving up.
LaVisca Chenault. Hey, see you. Shoulder to shoulder.
Big shoulder to shoulder.
And he's going four. So it's just on five. So it's barely getting on the board. Oh, my God.
Barely cracking the list here.
Oh, my God.
Barely cracking the list.
Natane Muti?
I'm not 100% sure on the pronunciation.
It sounds like you got that right.
I was saying Natane, but that sounds better. Natane?
Natane Muti?
Mutai?
Is
what I was going with.
Okay, Natane Mutai.
Just know that I apologize if we are butchering your name, but I like the way you play football.
Offensive guard from Fresno State.
All right, hear me out. All right, is this guy a first-rounder? That's a stretch. It is a stretch, okay? But this is my scenario. I'm giving myself options here. I think we all got to have options if we want to move up, if we want to move down.
Okay, you could do that.
Yes, and this guy for me is a second-day guy more than likely. However,
are you saying the Broncos could move out of the first round?
If I wanted to trade back like late into the first round, pick up some picks, I didn't have anybody I liked on the board, this is a guy I would take a flyer on. We're all talking about tackles.
Yeah.
Nobody's got any interior help on here.
That
okay?
is correct.
Actually, do you have Tyler on there still?
I took Biadasz out.
Okay, Tyler Biadasz is the other name that I was considering.
But he's a straight-up center.
And he's a straight-up center, but yeah. he can probably play guard.
He can play guard.
Probably play guard if he needs to.
Went to Wisconsin.
This guy, I'm going to tell you right now.
Tell me about it.
He's from Fresno State. He has injury problems, which is the real reason why he is going to be more than likely a second-day type of guy. However, if you watch his film, the guy is a mauler. And what Nick was talking about earlier with Austin Jackson, what he didn't like about Austin was he didn't really have that nasty finishing mentality. Just watch this guy on YouTube for 5 minutes. You're going to see this guy finishing blocks 15 yards down the field, just de-cleating off our defensive backs, de-cleating linebackers, pancaking defensive linemen. He is a great, great football player.
Right.
I've seen a couple mock drafts of late in which he has cracked the first round.
Really?
This is a recent movement in which he has cracked the first round. Most people think he's a second rounder. I myself would assume he's going to be a second rounder. But this is more of like a radar pick for me. This is more of like I want to watch more and more, and I want to learn more about this guy because, dude, we're talking about all these tackles. Well, what if we go wide receiver? You know, what if we decide that we want wide receiver and maybe we need a second day guy, or maybe we want to trade back into the first round and pick up somebody on a little bit of a gamble. I'm telling you, this guy. He is the most physical interior offensive lineman in the draft.
Is he Samoan?
Yes. Well, I don't know if he's Samoan, but he's Islander.
Polynesian.
I don't know. I don't want to be offensive.
No, no, no. The reason why I'm asking that because I played and I coached with a lot of guys from that culture.
Yeah.
And it's just something about how they're brought up from a family sense. That toughness is kind of, you know, ingrained in them. So what you're seeing on tape may be a part of that.
Dude. Nastiness is not a problem
for
this guy.
It looks like originally he's Hawaiian.
Okay.
He's from Oahu. I mean, maybe he has other roots from that, but he grew up at least and went to high school in Hawaii.
Okay.
Oh, he's tough.
So he's some sort of, you know, yes. He's American, but, yes. You know, maybe Polynesian roots.
All I need to know about this guy is that if I paired him up with Dalton Risner, you would have two of the most nasty interior players that we've had in a very,
and
very
I like
long
that.
Time.
I like that nastiness.
He is Polynesian. He was born in Tonga.
There it is right there. That tells me everything I need to know. This guy is tough as nails.
He's basically missed two out of three seasons, which is a major concern.
Why is he coming out early?
Because he's still going to get drafted in the second round, and maybe that money is life-changing for him. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Who knows why he chose to come out right now. He came off a Liz Frank injury this year.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Ugh.
Yes. But, dude.
Ooh, dear.
Dude, he's young. He's young.
Young guys bounce back. Where are you seeing him? How did he come to your attention?
I was just going through. So this morning, it started with Austin Jackson, and I started watching his film, and I kind of got in the mood to watch some film.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of went on the list, and I was thinking, all right, well, nobody's talking about interior guys, and we definitely have a need on the inside. Let's go check out the inside prospects. Tyler Biadasz popped up a lot. And then all of a sudden, I went on to NFL Mock Draft Database, which is a site that we all use. Yeah. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It accumulates all the mock drafts.
Right.
And I saw this guy's name pop up late in the first round for a few different mocks. So I said, all right, let's watch some film. I watched the film, and I fell in love. Mm. I fell in love with the guy. Everything tells me that it would be an extreme reach in the first round, but that's why he's number five on my board, and he's a radar guy mm-hmm. if we have to trade back and if we need some sort of emergency solution.
Well, let me put out some scenario. If they could trade back last year, I'm not a big fan of trading back, but if they did, and you accumulated, they already have, what, one first?
A second, two third. Three thirds.
Yes. Yeah.
And two number fours.
Right. So if it really is that deep of a receiver class, if you could trade back and pick up another second round pick.
Right.
If you don't love the tackle class that you got, if you do believe Juwan James and Garrett Bowles are all right, and if Connor McGovern, you're going to sign him to be a center, then the spot on the line you're looking to replace is right guard.
Yeah, man.
And you're going to pick a guy. He's 6'3", 307. So he's a little squatty, you know.
So he played tackle.
He
played some tackle in college, and then they finally moved him inside.
Yeah.
He's definitely going to be an interior guy.
He could probably put on a couple pounds, right?
He looks like a typical right guard. Just a mauler.
Okay. Phone booth dude.
He gave
from
up.
From Tonga.
He only had like 190 pass protection snaps this year because he got hurt. But he had zero pressures and zero sacks.
You're not concerned with Liz Frank, huh?
A little bit.
She's nasty.
But
that's the thing that concerns
me. My wife's name is Liz.
I know.
Careful, okay? Be careful.
Yeah, Liz
Good thing my name's not Frank.
She can be cranky, that Liz Frank.
I like the nastiness to him, but because of the injury history, it makes him more of a maybe a day two guy.
Well, that's like everything I just said.
Yeah.
Thank you for repeating everything. It makes him a day two guy.
I like you bringing his name up to talk about. Like, this is what I think is great about the big board of possibilities, because you can move up and you can move back.
Right.
And if you are moving back to do other things, then, well, okay, it's in the realm of possibility. This is where you're going to have problems with Derek Brown. I just don't know how a dude like him even
falls that far.
I just don't see it. Like, I've seen where, well, Dobbins will definitely be there. Ruggs, yeah. I've even seen maybe Isaiah Simmons, although I think his stock is actually
going up.
I think it's going up.
Yeah, it is going up.
But Brown, man, Brown is just, he's the first defensive tackle. Well, Kinlaw kind of sneaks in there every now and then. But Brown's there all the time. So it's going to be tough. Like, you took two off. You took two off. And
but that, but see, I but took see. Two off because of John Elway's comments, in which right. you really brought, you really made me alert to it yesterday. And it was a great point. John Elway was extremely definitive. Yeah. Drew Locke is the guy.
He's the guy.
He is the guy. There's no discussion. We're not drafting a quarterback. So, look, man, I know the mocks don't say, there's not a lot of them out there that say he's a first rounder, but I know what the film tells me. And the film told me with Dalton Risner that guy, if we draft him in the first round, he would have been equally as beneficial to this team as if we drafted him in the second round. That's what the film's telling me on this guy.
Okay. And D-Mac, even with, we're talking about offensive linemen and wide receivers, I still would not, take, Kinlaw and Derrick Brown off my board because we don't know what the Broncos are going to do up front. And anything they do as far as bringing back Shelby, if they can, maybe that may change things. But well,
I'm just telling you, if you want to get Derrick Brown, you got to move into the top 10.
We don't know. If the Broncos can't fill those holes on the defensive line with depth and quality guys that can push the pocket and help Von Miller and Bradley Chubb out, Brown still may be in play. That's a possibility. That's the one thing I love about the board of possibilities, that everything is in play depending on what the Broncos do in free agency.
Another thing, too, is like you're talking about doing a deal with a team that's in the late 20s or something like that. Mm. What are those teams' needs? What are the Patriots doing? What are they going to do?
What are the Patriots doing? Where are they? What number?
They got to be deep, you know?
Are they maybe 30? No, 28?
I don't think they're quite that deep, but
they're definitely late 20s. I know that.
I mean, who else? I mean, who else is out there that's...
Well,
what are the Saints doing?
Signing Drew Brees back. That's the first thing.
Okay, not forever. I mean, there's...
I wouldn't be shocked to see the Patriots trade up and take quarterback. Would you? I wouldn't be surprised at all. I mean, they would definitely give away a lot to go get their next quarterback.
See, that was surprising.
Look at this. The Patriots are 23 on this mock, and this mock Bleacher Report has them taking Jordan Love.
There you go.
So, there's your trade partner right there. There's your trade partner. Because if they love Jordan Love, now this is right up my alley. This is what you got to do. This is my, the Glennon Trubisky doctrine right here. If you identify a guy, so if you're the Patriots and you love Love, and who doesn't love Love?
I love to be loved.
Right. Then, with my theory, which doesn't sound so crazy now, you have to make an aggressive move to try to give it the best shot that you could get your guy. This is no different than if the Chiefs were what the Chiefs did to move from the mid-20s to 10 for Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
Same exact thing. And, if the Patriots did a deal with the Broncos to go from 23 to 15, I have zero... Well, I think they would be able to get Jordan Love. But...
What was the biggest issue for the Patriots this year? It was Tom Brady and the wide receivers.
They had a lot of issues.
Yes, that was one of the biggest issues.
But if they don't have a quarterback, they don't have a quarterback. They're not going to have a quarterback one way or the other soon.
Really quick, last comment on Mattai. If it were not for the injuries, he would be hands down the best interior prospect in the draft.
Man, I'm not seeing any... it's a great name here, man, because I don't see any other interior dudes.
Tyler Biadasz is the only one I've seen, and I've always seen him at like 27 through 30.
Yeah, man, this is a big call right here. All right, good, cool. We'll keep our eyes on it. He's from Tonga. How can you go wrong? It's KKFN, KKFN HD1, Longmont, Denver. How'd you do that? Short week is probably how you did it, right? We're cruising into the weekend, and tonight you may say, I really want to watch the Nuggets take on Zion Williamson, and you know what? Tough! Yes! But we'll have smoke signals and free-eyed ravens and the Pony Express, and it'll all relate what's actually happening with that game. That does tick me off that we can't watch that, but we'll see how the Nuggets do against the Pelicans and Zion. I'm sure he'll play at least a little bit. Eli Manning has retired. Here's a little bit of Eli.
This sport has very few real farewells. But as the clock ran down on our win against the Dolphins this season, I ran to my favorite place in the stadium, the tunnel. I waved to our loyal fans, and then Abby and my kids ran out to meet me. That was my farewell, and a moment I'll cherish forever. It's rare to have the privilege of playing an entire career with one organization. I'm proud to be one of the few, but even more so that it was as a Giant. It's been an honor to be a part of this family, and I hope that I've represented the organization in the way that you wanted me to from my first day to my last. For most of my life, people have called me easy. Believe me, there is nothing easy about today. Wellington Mara always said, once a Giant, always a Giant. For me, it's only a Giant. Thank you so much.
That was a sick finish. Sick finish.
What did you think of the retirement?
Well done. Extremely classy. He really emphasized what should have been emphasized in that, that he wants to, he doesn't want to go have another 2 or 3 years and kind of fade off into non-existence. He wants to be a Giant. He wants to be one of the greatest of all time Giants. And he deserves to be. I thought it was extremely classy. I think that Daniel Jones is handling it very well. He's talking about if he could only do half the things that Eli Manning has done over his career.
Was Daniel Jones at the retirement?
I don't know, but I did see some quotes from him.
Can we dig that up, Richie? It'll always stand out to me that Brock Osweiler was not at Peyton's retirement. I know it's a long flight from Phoenix to Colorado, but look that up if Daniel Jones was there. Just curious. Nick, what'd you think of the retirement?
It was classic. And the fact that, you know, his teammates who were on both of those Super Bowls, they were there to stand there and take the picture with him as he retired. And the image that kind of is burned in my head is Plaxico Burress walking across the stage, kind of giving him a hug. And we know that Plaxico has had his issues, you know, off the
Plaxico
field.
Plaxico wasn't wearing sweatpants or anything, was he?
No.
Okay, good.
He had on a suit, no sweatpants.
Good, because
No. There was no room for Cheddar Bob. Okay. There was no room for Cheddar Bob. So this is all a classy affair.
Good.
And to see everyone on the stage with him, you know, in this moment, I mean, it was a beautiful thing.
Daniel Jones was there.
Oh, he was.
Good for him.
Yes.
That's
classy. It's classy. He didn't have to be there, but he was there, D-Mac.
None of them had to be there. The season's over. You got to make a little effort to be there unless you're just hanging out in Jersey. I mean, I'll just never forget Brock not being there. It was bitter, man. It was bad.
He was salty. He was in his feelings.
You know what? I actually don't blame Brock. He had reasons to be salty, and he was not talking about being disrespected. That dude.
But once again, that depends on the relationship you has as a, with the being a backup with the starter. But guy treated you like trash.
I'm not going to say they treat him like trash.
Not saying that happened.
They're
but,
still
but,
offering. Who treated him like trash?
No, we're not saying that. But
if you don't have a working relationship with that starter, and you guys are not having bread and bread.
I don't think that's what it was. I think I don't know if him and Peyton were best of buddies, but I think it was more like his relationship with the Broncos organization than anything.
Oh, I'm sure it was all of it. You know, I'm sure it was all of it. You know, I would.
Oh, you tell us.
I'm not out here to create any drama, but I think that it's an accumulation of everything. Like, do I think that Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler were going out to have beers? No, I don't. I'm also not sitting here trying to tell you that Peyton Manning was out to sabotage him by any means.
Right.
I'm certainly not saying that. So, you know, like if you've got an incredible relationship with somebody, but you feel bad about an organization, sure, you could come back. But if you're kind of 50-50 on everything, are you really going to go out of your way? Are you going to buy a plane ticket? Are you going to lose vacation time?
And this is why Daniel Jones being there was so great, because both Eli were coached by, you know, David Cutcliffe. See, they his doppelganger.
Yeah, so, you know, for Brock, just go back, they didn't offer him a new deal, you know, during the offseason. They didn't offer him a deal during training camp. They didn't offer him a deal during the season.
Right.
They didn't even, I'm saying offer. They didn't offer, Peyton went on, and listen, it's your retirement, do whatever you want. But Peyton didn't retire right away. You know, he went on a couple of vacations. He had a couple of speaking things. You know, he didn't retire like the week after the season. He took his time and really thought about it, which he's more than in within his rights to do so.
You know, Peyton and I retired within a few days of each other. And so when he had his presser, I sent him a text and I said, "Hey man, congrats on the retire." Cause he had sent me an incredibly nice message.
That's
when
awesome.
I retired. I was a few days before him.
Yep.
And, he sent me a very, very nice message that meant the world to me.
Mm.
But when he had his presser, I sent him a message and I said, "Hey man, I thought about having a joint presser to announce the retirements, but I really didn't want to steal your shadow." he just writes back, "Ha ha ha ha! Appreciate that, man."
Well, speaking of Peyton, and you know, the more time goes on, the more that I think we all appreciate Peyton. It was great to hear him with Stokely and Zach this morning. They were filling in for Mike and Mark, and you know, he lavished praise on his brother, which was awesome. And if you want to see a fantastic video, DenverBroncos.com. It's like 20 minutes of Peyton talking about different stories and different stuff. It's really, really, really good. But one of the things that they did ask Peyton late in the interview was about Drew Locke, which I found interesting.
Yeah.
And Peyton said that, yeah, Drew had reached out to him.
Drew and I have talked. He was kind of asking for my, you know, thoughts on the off season, kind of how I went about my off season training. And when do you start throwing and, you know, weightlifting and all that. And so we, I you know, put my thoughts together and, we were kind of set to talk this week, but he's, got his wisdom teeth taken out, you know, so. Kind of delayed that, Stokes. So, you know, okay. I don't know if that's breaking news that he had his wisdom teeth taken out.
But, I think it is.
There you have it. Don't say I didn't give you any scoop.
There you go. First time ever. Take that, Mike Kliss. So.
Is that a HIPAA violation?
That's a good one. I don't know. You might be right on that.
I don't know.
Peyton said he's enjoyed keeping up with Locke since his football camp.
Knowing Drew from our football camp that you referenced to earlier, there's always kind of been a fraternity there of keeping up with those quarterbacks, whether they go play for other teams or, you know, go into business. It's sort of a fraternity there. But so I've enjoyed, you know, keeping up with Drew since he's been here and try to be there as a resource. Certainly he's got great coaches and, you know, people in his ear over there at the Broncos. But, you know, try to be there like I would for any quarterback that has a question. And if I can help them, I'm certainly happy to try.
Well, I think this is all cool news, don't you guys?
Great news. Fantastic news.
This is all positive, for sure.
I hope that it's more than a congratulatory phone call type of relationship. You know, I hope that it turns into a long-term check-in type of relationship. You know, like I can lean on you type of relationship.
I would think it is. I think...
Like a mentorship somewhat?
This would be a real mentorship.
Yeah.
Yes. This would be so much more appropriate as a mentorship rather than, you know, Joe Flacco mentorium, right?
Well, I think it would actually be kind of a cool mentorship for Peyton because,
yes,
you know, for Peyton, dude, it would be tough to try to mentor like Andrew Luck. Not because he got drafted there, but because their playing styles are very similar. And it's like when you talk to him, you just expect that he's going to do things that you're going to do. And it's like just frustrating when you can't communicate your message. But for Peyton and Drew, it would be a, like, how do you approach the game type of relationship? It wouldn't be like, this is how you need to play quarterback. It'd be, what are your study habits? You know, what are the tendencies? You know, when you walk up to the line of scrimmage, what are you looking for? How can you get an edge on the game type of relationship? I think that would actually be a unique one that Peyton would probably enjoy.
This reminds me of John Gruden when he would always do his quarterback camp. And knowing as though Peyton does his details on ESPN, this would fit well with what he's doing right now. And being a young quarterback, having the ability to listen to one of the great ones and a guy who quarterbacks camp that you've already attended. So you have a built-in relationship right there. Imagine that coupled with what Mike Shula could bring to this organization as a QB coach. I mean, we can see Drew Locke start pretty fast in 2020.
Well, let me ask you this. Both of you guys, mentor, coach,
mm-hmm.
Not only guys who are still currently in the league, but college kids as well. What's the advantage of getting that stuff from somebody who's outside of the team? What do you guys give to the guys that you help out with, because both you guys do it, rather than what they get with their team?
It's unbiased type of critique. right? Because usually when you're with the team, whether it's in the pros or in college, you have your position coach who sometimes he's just kind of browbeating you, screaming at you, yelling at you. But now you have someone who's been there, done
that. He's trying to save his job.
Yeah, he's trying to save his job.
You guys are.
But now we are there to actually help him. Okay, well, let's see what your footwork is like. Change this up, change that up. So once you go back to that coach, now he sees a difference in you, not just with your skill set on the field, but mentally as well.
You know, I've got a great relationship with guys that are in the league. I've got great relationships with guys that are trying to get into the league, and they're all different, right? Like when I'm working with these college kids right now that are training for the combine and for their pro days, I mean, clearly I'm working on technique. Clearly I'm teaching them what to, I'm teaching them how to handle interviews. I'm teaching them, what to expect. It's more of like an education on the process that is about to come up. But like Matt Paradis, I've got an incredible relationship with Matt, and like all season long, even this year, he'd send me film and he'd be like, "Hey man, I need your opinion on this."
No kidding. Okay.
And so I'd give him my feedback. He would ask for help on like tendencies on guys that he's playing. He would ask for, "Hey man, what'd you see in my game? Why am I doing this? Why did I not jump hop on when I got bull rushed here?" You know, just little things like that. And they're all unique and they're all different. But I would second what Nick is saying more or less. I mean, it's a trusted voice. It's a safe voice. You know, it's like a comfortable voice. It's a place that you can go to.
You're
and
not going
like,
to yell at him.
Yeah,
right. Well, it'd be funny if you did yell at him, I suppose. Right?
I'm like,
what's wrong with you, Paradis?
I do yell at the combine guys.
That's a little bit different.
Yeah, I do yell at them.
You're getting
do your job and quit making up.
That's hilarious to me. Oh.
Aren't you in? That's different. Like, you're consulting with Matt,
are you kidding me?
Working out, practicing with these guys, right?
Correct.
It's a little bit different.
Correct.
You wouldn't just yell at him off to the side, like, you
he
know.
Sucks.
I mean, if I don't like him.
You lose. But Tyler, good day, sir.
Tyler's preparing these NFL prospects for what they are going to walk into.
And you know, like, my son had a coach. There's a lot of coaches, but he was a training in a place. He had a coach. The coach just said, "Oh, you'll never play Division I."
Despite I told him that.
Yeah, you're gonna be like it's over. Yeah, no. You'll not.
That is a host to the testes there.
He comes back and he goes, "Oh yeah, coach said, yeah, I'll never play Division I."
It's a great job, coach.
Man.
Terrible.
Here's some encouragement for him.
You're never gonna get drafted.
tell him my story. When I signed my, I'll go ahead and tell the story because I'm a little bit bitter. When I signed my letter of intent on signing day, like one of the greatest days of my entire life as a high schooler, I signed the letter of intent, and then a couple hours later, somebody comes out of a class, and it was a health teacher. So anybody that went to Cherry Creek High School, you can figure it out.
Okay.
Happened to coach some sports on the side.
Rhymes with?
Yeah. So this health teacher that coached baseball.
Wow.
You might as well say the name right now.
Wow.
Now
I'm circling some names.
So my friend comes out of class. He says, "You're never going to believe what he just said." I was like, "What?" He said in front of the entire class, he said, "Mark my words, Tyler Plumbus will never play a down at the University of Colorado." And so, dude, I never forgot it. You know what my mom did? I had to stop her. When I was playing for the Broncos, she put an envelope of tickets together and started to mail it to him. and be like, "Hey, come watch Tyler at the Broncos." I was like, "Mom, come on, Bob, you can't do that. Bob, I love you, Bob, but you can't do that one."
Have you ever talked to that guy since?
I've ran into him at Chili's one time.
How'd that go?
I just acted like nothing ever happened. Hey, great to see you.
We all need motivators, I guess.
Yeah.
Nikki Javala, you know, she was told that she would never get into the University of North Carolina.
Oh.
Yeah.
A lot of haters out there on Nikki.
Actually, she probably wasn't. She probably had great SATs and all that. And hi, Nikki. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
You ever have a hater? You ever have somebody tell you just couldn't do what you wanted to do?
I mean, yeah, I'm a woman covering football, so that's kind of a daily thing.
How does that?
You know what my favorite part is?
I mean, you just look on Twitter. There's always one of them out there, but I don't care what they think.
My favorite part is you clap back at them.
I don't have patience for that kind of thing.
Specifically, whenever don't they mention the female reference, you always clap back at that one. I love it.
I know, it's too easy, so.
Nikki, you were at the Pro Bowl practices?
Yeah, that was the best I could do this offseason. Didn't quite make it to Mobile, not going to go to the Super Bowl, so I went down to Orlando for a couple days and caught up with Vaughn and Cortland and saw Shaq Barrett just before he's about to get a huge contract.
Alright, so what's the news? I mean, we really have not done any kind of Pro Bowl updates, but I'm happy to hear, what your takeaways were from the Pro Bowl.
I just talked to the guys after practice. I mean, there's not really much going on with the actual Pro Bowl practices and week. I talked to Cortland about, having to change offenses for the third time in as many seasons, what he's heard about Shermer, how he found out that he actually got into the Pro Bowl, because remember initially he was pretty upset that he was snubbed and just voted an alternate.
It is what it is.
Yep, haters everywhere. He said Vic Fangio texted him and said call him ASAP. So of course he was dreading the worst, and then come to find out Vic told him he made it. So there was some interesting stuff there. I thought it was really interesting watching Vaughn interact with a lot of those guys. I mean, he's
teaching.
He loves it too. Like, he really loves kind of being, he's coaching coaches out there, which I think is fascinating. And guys love hearing from him. He's just got a real knack for it, and he really enjoys it. So I asked him if they even need to hire another linebackers coach, and he still likes to be coached. So he said yes. I think that was a politically correct answer.
That sounded like there was something more there, Nikki.
Vaughn is interesting this offseason. I just get the sense that he's just really pissed off. Am I allowed to say that on radio?
Yeah, sure, you just did.
Sorry. And you're a woman saying it. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, sorry. Earmuffs. He just seems really ticked off. And, I think that's a good thing. 4 years of losing, he's just not happy with the way things are. And I think that was pretty clear after that Chiefs game. And it doesn't sound like it's gone away. We asked him about that. He had some interesting comments that I'll put out on Monday. He's genuinely sick of all this. And that was a calculated thing that, he went into that and said it, and he knew how the reaction would be, and he wanted it. So I thought it was interesting.
Saw your tweet that Broncos will not be interviewing anybody else for the quarterback's coaching spot. So Mike Shula is the guy.
Mike Shula is the guy, it looks like. I think they're just working out some of the procedural issues, like with, offsets from the Giants and whatnot. So he's definitely the leader in the clubhouse, been down here for a couple days now.
Nikki, how does the idea that Vaughn decided to kind of cancel his trip to Australia change your perception of what he can actually be in 2020 opposed to what we saw of him in 2019 with 8 sacks?
Yeah. Well, I think he wants more. I think anybody who thought he was just kind of dogging it, that's not true. I do think a part of the Australia thing was the whole country was on fire too, but he didn't say that. I think he really is he's always been motivated. I mean, this guy, he hates to not play. Like, he starts crying when he can't play. That one game he missed, mm-hmm. he was like in tears in the locker room because he couldn't be out there. So, mm-hmm. I think there's this kind of this perception that Vaughn is just this really laid back, chill guy. And he is in most respects, but he's also one of the most competitive people I've met. So the losing, he took it harder than anybody in that locker room. You could see it after every game. So I think once the season ended, he was serious about getting back out there and going back to work with that trainer, that he worked with ahead of the, I think it was the 2017 season when he came back and he had like monster quads and a tiny waist, so he's a motivated guy, and he doesn't want to have another season like that, personally and for the team.
You know, with his contract situation, there's no way mm-hmm. this year he's fine, but there's not that much money, the following year, 2021, could this be a farewell tour for Vaughn with the Broncos?
Very much so. I mean, and that's not to say it will happen. I don't want to freak people out, but given the structure of his contract, it's an easy out for the Broncos if you know, they don't feel he's producing, or they say, oh, he's going to be 32. That's usually when they cut ties with guys. I mean, just look at their history. He knows that. I mean, that was one of the things he mentioned when I asked, you know, why did you decide to go back and work with this trainer who's like, you know, it's an awful regimen. It just looks miserable. But it really gets him in shape. And he said, you know, one of the reasons is he's going to be 31. He knows he doesn't have forever. Yeah. He's on the second phase of his career. However long that is, we don't know. I mean, he's talked about, you know, trying to break Bruce Smith's record, mm-hmm. but you know, he knows he doesn't have forever. And once you hit the 30s, teams view you differently, whether it's fair or not. I think he very much views this as a very important season for him personally. They have to get this turned around. He has to get his numbers up too for his future. So there's more at stake for Vaughn than, you know, previous years, I would say.
All right, great stuff. Nikki, who takes care of Joey when you're on the road?
Oh, he has a sitter, Joey. Wendy. She's wonderful.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want, because, you know, Tyler's got a big old dog too, Samson.
Way cuter than Joey.
Way cuter than Joey?
Way cuter than Joey.
Wow.
Joey's
dog wars.
Settle down just a little bit.
Well, yeah. Joey's pretty cute.
Joey's okay, but
he's
Samson.
He's right next to me. Samson, can hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joey.
I don't like your attitude.
Wow. Joey, you know I didn't mean that. I love you, Joey.
Wow.
Get your damn act together.
I mean, it's one thing when Parker the Snow Dog is just more famous, but you're going with the cute thing?
Well, I mean, have you seen my dog?
He's pretty fluffy. He's very fluffy.
Thank you.
Nikki, we're glad you made it back from Florida, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nikki.
Nikki Javala from The Athletic.
Sorry, Joey.
Going to be an interesting year for Vaughn. That's, you know, it's kind of a little bit under the radar, you know, because we're so obsessed with all this other stuff. But what if this is the last year for Vaughn with the Denver Broncos?
That'd be sad.
Boy, man.
That'd be sad. That'd be tough. But that means that someone else stepped up.
It'd be a hell of a career.
Oh.
It'd be one hell of a career.
You know, by the way, on the Giants. So Eli, they already announced they're retiring his number. And he's going to go in their ring, whatever their ring of fame
ring
is.
Of honor.
I love it. Why wait?
Why wait? What do we...
Get it done.
Yeah.
Why do the Broncos wait? Like, why are we waiting around for Peyton? Like...
Just do it.
Why? What is the point of wait? What is going on here? All right. Anyways, when we come back, Vaughn, compelling more of Peyton Manning and what if I am so frustrated about something tonight? I'll get to it coming up next.
Columns and videos delivered to your inbox every morning. Register for the free Denver Sports Daily at 1043thefan.com.